Matt, I don't know if you've heard about this, but scientists, they've been working on it for several years, and they were just able to, last month, grow a set of vocal cords, working vocal cords, in a petri dish in the lab.
No kidding.
Yep. The results speak for themselves.
Food's good.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the graveyard. Thank you for joining us tonight. My name is Adam.
And my name's Matt.
Now, pull up a tombstone or settle into your casket and get comfortable, because this is Graveyard Tales. All right, everybody, here we are again. Matt, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, I'm doing all right. I'm
good.
I'll tell you this. I was gonna come in singing about something about being cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was 87 degrees here on Sunday.
Yep.
It was 38 when I got up this morning.
Wow.
38. Okay, so in 3 days, you know, we have gone from, God dang, it's hot, to,
Oh, no. I know. It was 91 as a high yesterday, and when I woke up, it was 50 this morning.
Yeah.
And 50 degrees for a Texan is cold.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. We have the heat on in the house.
We haven't gotten there yet, but.
Yeah. So, thank God we just replaced that, the heat and air unit.
Yep. Yeah, Mom was telling me y'all were probably going to get some frost, or you had the potential of getting some frost.
Yep.
I'm like, well, we got another 2 or 3 months before we have frost potential here, but it's cold for a Texan. I actually got to wear jeans and boots today and didn't sweat. So that'll tell you something.
There you go.
I love jeans and t-shirt weather. When I can wear my jeans, boots, and a t-shirt, that's my favorite weather, man. But before we get into it, we want to say go check out the Podbelly Network at podbelly.com. You can find a list of shows that we're happy to be associated with, and you can find some tips and tricks on podcasting if you're into such a thing. You know, if you say, hey, I want a podcast, well, they've got some tips and tricks over there for you. We also want to say go check out patreon.com/graveyardtales. You can sign up to become a patron. We've got 3 different levels. All the levels get a bonus episode every week. Our $5 and $10 a month, they get the ad-free audio and video versions of the show when we have an ad. And our $10 a month, they get our second show that we're doing, Side Quest, which is nothing like Graveyard Tales. We're having fun with it. It's a little bit of everything. We basically just try to make the other one laugh or freak the other one out. That's the whole purpose of the show. You get to see what Matt and I are like when we're just sitting down with each other, screwing around and talking about stuff. So if you like me and Matt, we think you'll like the Side Quest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun.
And I did want to say, you'll notice I have worn the same hat, to my ghost hat.
Yeah.
For a few recordings now, and it's because it's spooky season. So I'm wearing my ghost hat. It's new. It's my Branded Bills hat. So my favorite hat company, # not a sponsor, # wish they were.
Yeah, Adam
Branded
needs,
Bills.
Adam needs more hats.
Yeah, I do. Well, and Branded Bills, if you're listening, I know you've got to be out there listening. I know you're a Graveyard Tales fan. So Mr. Branded Bills, please holler at us. Let's talk something. Get all of our listeners in a Branded Bills hat. Yeah. I think we need to do that.
And speaking of hats, this morning, this happened this morning. Amanda is in the shower. I'm late.
Should you tell this story?
Okay. So yeah, I'm just teasing. Amanda's in the shower. Okay, I'm sitting up in the bed drinking coffee, flipping through the news on my phone. The dogs are up in the bed with me. Mm-hmm. Everything's quiet. Kids haven't started going ape, right. whatever yet. And just out of the blue, all of my hats, all of Amanda's hats are in the top of our closet. And they all just said, phew,
and really
fell out of the top of the closet. I mean, that's I'm sitting there and I watch it happen. It just goes, phew. Now, in all fairness, they're not sitting up there like on a hook or anything. Mm-hmm. They're just all stacked up. But this has never happened like this.
Yeah. And for
nobody to have been running through the house, mm-hmm. digging through the closet, because, you know, I wasn't getting dressed yet. Amanda was in the shower.
Yeah.
So there was nothing that would have shaken the wall. They just went, boom, just right out of the closet.
That's weird.
And I just kind of, I'm sitting there like this and I go, huh. Amanda gets out and she's like, oh, our hats fell on the floor. I said, yeah, they just jumped out of the closet and I was just sitting here, me and the dogs, and they just went bleep, right out. I said, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of those things you get used to. I mean,
yeah.
Having the way you grew up and the house you did and all that stuff, it's not the most abnormal thing. So it'd still be freaky though. You still sit there and weird. Go, now, why did it do that? what happened? And like you were saying, you do run through the scenarios of why could that have happened? But anyway, well, with that weirdness, Matt, why don't you tell us, what are we talking about tonight, brother?
All right. So tonight we are going to look at a haunted ship, which we've done a few of these in the past. Mm-hmm. But this one, it's very active. And the funny thing about it is doing the research, this place is listed as one of the most haunted places in Charleston, South Carolina.
Which is saying something.
That, I mean, we have talked about Charleston before.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of haunted places, and I don't mean like, yeah, you see that old abandoned warehouse, it's haunted. No, I mean, they have stories. Okay. There's been things that happen. There was odd history at so many of these places.
Right.
My parents, have been down that way. My sister has been there and taken the ghost tour. You know, it just, there are so many places. So for a ship,
right,
to be on the list of one of the most haunted there, I mean, that really is saying something.
Yeah. Yep.
And so doing the research, I found some really cool stories about this place. But again, you know, when you're talking about a ship that has been through, you know, multiple battles, and you've seen some death among the crew, and not just from war but also from suicide,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna leave a mark. And it sure does look like the USS Yorktown has got that mark.
Yep. Yep. It's that paranormal sludge that we've talked about.
Yeah.
You have so much built up over the decades that it just kind of coats the building or the ship, mm-hmm. in this case, mm-hmm. in a paranormal sludge that just seems to keep in all of the ghosts and everything like that.
Well, and it's always kind of made me, well, we always talk about the stone tape theory.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be stone. Okay.
Right.
And I've never really considered that much steel would hold on to energy, but it sure does seem like it can.
Yep. Well, and we've talked about running water. Uh-huh. It sits on moving water.
Right.
So does that play into it as well?
It could be. I mean, we've talked about, you know, moving water or large bodies of water working as almost like a paranormal battery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just feeding that energy and keeping it going. You know, so I think a lot of things. I think by the time we're done with this, we're going to have some more theories as to why this is as haunted as it is.
Could be, yeah. Now, as we always say, go check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. You can find where we found all the information. You can keep going because this ship has an extensive history. And I'm only going to cover some highlights because I don't have the attention span with my ADD to cover the whole history in one show. I would have to do something else and come back to it. We could do a second if you want to hear it. We'll do a Yorktown 2, CV2 later, and the CV will make sense in a minute. But I decided we'd get some highlights and talk about those. But if you want to keep going, check our sources down at the bottom of the show notes. There's actually people that have been to the ship where Matt and I can't, that we're getting some of this information from and everything. So check them out. Now, the USS Yorktown CV-5 was an aircraft carrier that served in the U.S. Navy during World War II, and it was commissioned at Naval Operating Base Norfolk, Virginia, on September 30th, 1937, with Captain Ernest D. McWhorter in command. However, this isn't the USS Yorktown that we will talk about today. It's not the one that is haunted. It's not whatever. But that's because Yorktown CV-5 was sunk at the Battle of Midway in June of 1942. So the Bonhomme Richard, I don't know exactly how to say it. It's French. Bonhomme Richard.
Yeah.
So Bonhomme Richard.
Yeah, I've heard it Ohm and I've heard it home.
Yeah.
Because I remember there was a fragrance, or it was a cologne or a perfume that was something home, and nobody could ever pronounce it right. But I've heard it pronounced that way. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go with Bonhomme because I've only got to say it like once, which is now. It was an Essex class carrier that was being built, and it was renamed during its construction to the USS Yorktown CV-10. As a tribute to the original. Well, she is the fourth U.S. Navy ship to bear the name, though the previous ships were named for the 1781 Battle of Yorktown. So the three prior USS Yorktowns were named after the Battle of Yorktown. The Yorktown CV-10, was named after Yorktown CV-5.
Yeah.
So it was built though in a record 16 and a half months at Newport News, Virginia. And the USS Yorktown was commissioned on April 15th of 1943. Now the Yorktown was the 10th aircraft carrier to serve in the United States Navy. So think about that, Matt. This is 2024. When we're recording it, I would be hard pressed to even guess at how many aircraft carriers have now served in the military.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, there was at this point when the Yorktown was christened, it was the 10th aircraft carrier. So it was early on in aircraft carrier days. Now, January 21st, 1943, Miss Eleanor Roosevelt christens the USS Yorktown, and on this day, apparently, the CV-10 they said, couldn't wait to get into the water and serve her country. Because it started sliding out of the dry dock 7 minutes ahead of schedule. So
it started going.
It's like peace. I'm wasting time.
Yeah.
It's probably, I could be killing Nazis. What am I doing sitting here?
Yeah.
But the first lady, Miss Roosevelt, had to hurry and throw the champagne bottle to try to hit it as it went out of the dry dock.
Yeah.
She missed. It took two tries for her to actually break the bottle on the Yorktown to christen the Yorktown.
So she missed. Well, I guess they had an extra bottle.
Yeah.
They're like, here, don't miss this one, Eleanor.
Please. This is the last one we got. And she like Babe Ruths it and just steps up.
I want to christen. I want to christen something and just smash a bottle of champagne on it.
Right.
I'd probably cut myself. Knowing my luck, you know, especially here lately, like, you know, and then I'm like, you know,
you lose a finger, you come back missing. Yeah.
They were like, he marked off two on his bucket list. Christen a ship and lose a finger. What? Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Why was that second one on his list? I hope they had two bottles. Because I would hate to be the private that had to jump in.
Fish that one out.
And fish that bottle out and get it back to Miss Roosevelt.
With a dadgum aircraft carrier that's rolling out.
Right, right. Yeah, you got an aircraft carrier that is on its way out. And you're having to try to swim around it and get this bottle. But yeah, hopefully they had another bottle of champagne. Now, on May 21st, 1943, Yorktown left Norfolk and headed for Trinidad to begin her shakedown cruise in the Caribbean. Already on board at this time was the film crew for the future Academy Award-winning documentary Fighting Lady. So if you know that documentary Fighting Lady, it's actually about the USS Yorktown. July of 1943, the Yorktown went through the Panama Canal. Now, the only reason I brought this up is because when I was reading this, it said that it was so big trying to fit through the Panama Canal that sailors on board could shake hands with people that were standing on the shore as it was going through.
What?
Yeah. And if you look up pictures, I'm going to put a picture in the YouTube thumbnail of this going through the Panama Canal. It barely fits in the locks of the Panama Canal. And like the bottom of it fits and the top of it's kind of like hanging over the side a little bit. And they can actually reach out and touch people on the shore because the ship is so big. So I couldn't not put that in.
Yeah.
Because that's crazy cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it probably a little dangerous as well.
Yeah. A little bit.
You know, you're kind of standing there on the, I don't know. Do you stand around on the side of the Panama Canal, just kind of walking around? And then all of a sudden you look up and the underside of the deck of an aircraft carrier is above you.
It looked that way in the picture that I saw. But I mean, the thing, if you see this big aircraft carrier coming through your lock, you'll probably run up to look too, because you're probably thinking, this crap's going to get stuck and I'm going to be here for it.
That's right.
I want to witness this.
I just don't want to be involved in the unstucking of it.
Right, right. Before we have to unstuck it, I'm leaving. So get my mental picture and run away. Now, this says that World War II's famous Fighting Lady would, because that's what they called the Yorktown, the Fighting Lady, would participate significantly in the Pacific Offensive that began in late 1943 and ended with the defeat of Japan in 1945. The USS Yorktown received the Presidential Unit Citation and earned 11 battle stars for service in World War II. In the 1950s, the Yorktown was modernized to operate jet aircraft as an attack carrier, so it became CVA. In 1957, it was redesignated an anti-submarine aircraft carrier, CVS, and would later earn 5 battle stars for service off Vietnam, 1965 to 1968. The ship notably recovered the Apollo 8 astronauts and capsule in December of 1968. The Yorktown was decommissioned in 1970 and placed in reserve. In 75, the historic ship was towed from Bayonne, New Jersey to Charleston, South Carolina to become the centerpiece of Patriots Point Naval and Maritime Museum. Now, let's go back. Now that we got that information, let's go back and let's look at some of the operations and battles that she was in just to give you an idea of why there might be some energy left aboard this ship. Operation Hailstone, February 17th, 1944 to February 18th of 44. The Yorktown participated in Operation Hailstone, which is a series of air raids in Truk Island in February 1944 as part of Task Force 58. Now, Admiral Raymond Spruance ordered the Fast Carrier Task Force, including the Yorktown, to attack Truk Island to prevent aircraft from interfering with the invasion of Inuwatok. The Yorktown's Air Group 5 attacked enemy fighters, destroyed enemy ships, and pounded defenses. The group included 36 SBD dive bombers, 37 F-6F Hellcats, 18 TBF Avengers, and 4 F-6F Night Fighters. So Marine pilot and Medal of Honor recipient Pappy Boyington witnessed the scene as a POW on Truk. The operation is seen in the documentary The Fighting Lady, in which Lieutenant General Grade Smokey Stover is featured. Now, Stover was shot down during Truk and he was executed by his Japanese captors. Well, his death was not mentioned in the movie. Instead, he's just no longer featured for the rest of the film. So they didn't cover what happened to Smokey Stover. But I don't know about you, Matt, but I know the name Smokey Stover. Like, even before this, when I read this, I went, Smokey Stover, why is that in my head? Now, it may be from one of the many military museums I've been to or something, but Smokey Stover, that name was in my memory bank somewhere, and I guess this is why.
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell to me.
Okay.
But you know, I've never been a big military history guy.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it's cool and all, but that's never been like a focus of mine. So coming across a lot of these names, when we research these places, I'm hearing them for the first time, unless it's like a big, you know, well-known hero or, you know, military figure. So yeah, it doesn't ring a bell for me, but it's a great name. I mean, you know, Smokey. That's a fantastic nickname.
Yeah, I used to have a cat named Smokey, and then I gave him to my mom when I couldn't keep him. But Smokey lived forever. So
yeah,
but Smokey was named Smokey for a whole nother reason, not after Smokey Stover.
He wasn't like just a gray cat, which is what I always
see. He was a black cat, but it was because I got him in high school from a guy that I used to also get Smokey from.
Perfect.
So,
that's why Smokey lived forever.
Exactly.
He was the chillest cat ever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, the Yorktown was also in the Battle of the Philippine Sea, June 19th, 44 to June 20th of 44. It's also called the Marianas Turkey Shoot, and it was the fifth aircraft carrier battle in history. and it was the last major aircraft carrier battle of the war. A Japanese fleet of 9 aircraft carriers with 473 planes, 5 battleships, 13 cruisers, and 28 destroyers advanced towards the Marianas through the Philippine Sea to attack Task Force 58. Now, only 35 carrier-based Japanese planes survived the 2 days, and 3 Japanese carriers and 2 oilers were sunk. The U.S. lost 130 planes and 76 pilots. Because of this battle, eventual defeat of the Japanese became certain. On the first day of the battle, Yorktown's planes attacked Guam airfields and destroyed 37 planes, enemy planes. On June 20th, Yorktown launched a 40-plane strike against Admiral Ozawa's force, scoring hits on Zukaku. Now, the battle ended Japanese carrier dominance in the Pacific, and the battle was a one-sided contest for the Allies, with the Americans losing fewer than 24 Hellcats and shooting down nearly 480 Japanese aircraft. Hmm. So, there was a reason they called it the Turkey Shoot.
Yeah.
Because it basically was. Now, in Iwo Jima, June 24th, 1944, through July 6th of 1944, June 24th, the Yorktown launched a series of raids on Iwo Jima. July 3rd and 4th, the Yorktown renewed combat operations with attacks on Iwo Jima and Chichijima. Now, Bomb Sunday, March 18th, 1945. Bomb Sunday is one that is definitely going to come into play with the hauntings that we have today. While conducting airstrikes on Kyushu, a delayed action 600-pound bomb dropped by a Judy, which is Japanese D-4Y, hit the Yorktown signal bridge on the starboard side. It destroyed a gun station, and it passed through the deck and exploded. The plane was struck down after that, but one officer and 4 enlisted men were killed on the Yorktown. 18 men were wounded. Danny Carveth, an air crewman, was permanently blinded, and gunner's mate Bob Davis had a 12.5-inch, 5.5-pound piece of bomb removed from his abdomen.
Good night!
Can just picture that.
I know.
12.5 inches, 5.5 pounds in your abdomen.
Yeah. I mean, it's not so much the length of it, but the weight of it. I mean, can you imagine having that something that size just jammed into you forcefully?
And then, I have felt then, like I've had a removed. Poo that big, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, I had coffee and a bran muffin this morning.
Yeah, right. That's when he should have tried to get it out. Coffee and a bran muffin. But no, I can't imagine. And surviving that. That's incredible. That was a tough dude. Now, in November of 1944, they performed magic carpet rides. After adding bunks on the hangar deck and extra galley facilities, Yorktown brought on over 4,000 soldiers in addition to her sailors for a magic carpet ride home from the war. January 1st of 1946, they performed magic carpet rides again. Yorktown welcomed 1,600 soldiers aboard for the beginning of their magic carpet ride home. Her galley pulled out all the stops to serve a Thanksgiving-style dinner of turkey dressing, giblet gravy, cranberry sauce, etc. for the soldiers coming home. Now,
1,600.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feed 1,600 people.
Yeah, I thought our 10 to 15 on Thanksgiving was bad.
Well, yeah, but, you know, imagine feeding 1,600 people anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then go, we're going to feed 1,600 people Thanksgiving dinner on a ship.
Yeah, in a ship's galley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a lot of turkey they had.
Right.
I mean, just the cranberry sauce alone, you could, you know, you could probably fill a torpedo tube, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was government issued turkey, so who knows what it was though. You know,
government turkey.
Yeah, just add water and it becomes a turkey slice.
Oh God, can you imagine? MRE Thanksgiving dinner, which I am convinced exists.
Oh,
I guarantee you it exists, and it's got to be horrid.
If you're a service member or were a service member and you've had MRE Thanksgiving dinner, please let us know. I don't know if that does exist or not, but I got a buddy that's in the Navy. I need to ask him if he's ever had MRE Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, you know, over the years of seeing these service guys post about MREs and things, mm-hmm. and what they have had, that's why I'm convinced that something Thanksgiving oriented exists.
It's oh, got sure.
to. Cause I yeah. mean, you know, I've seen some, like, I can't believe they turned this into an MRE, but
I hear the chili mac is the best, but I don't know.
Isn't that crazy? I've heard the same thing.
It must be true then. If two idiots on a podcast heard the same thing, it must be true.
Listen, so I got a buddy that, after Katrina, okay, the Hurricane Katrina. So they were way north, okay, but in Louisiana, but they still mm-hmm. got affected, and you know, their, you know, power and water and everything was messed up. So they could drive to like a FEMA location, and they could pick up stuff like daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fresh water, you know, but they had MREs.
Yeah.
Okay. So after, you know, they had power and water and everything, he was still going up there and getting stuff. And I'm like, what? I was talking to him one day and he's like, yeah, I'm on my way up to whatever town it was. And I was like, oh, you still run up or get supplies? He's like, well, not really. I'm addicted to the MREs. I mean, they had them there. And, you know.
Mm-hmm. Man, see, what I would have done, I don't think I could ever get addicted to MREs, but me being me, I'd take them as long as I could and stack them in my garage.
Yeah.
For the next time crap like that happened.
I mean, he was getting them and eating them.
I mean, yeah, that's crazy. You got some weird friends.
I don't remember if he told me there was a specific one that he was going after, but or just in general, goes up there, you know, he just
like scratching. I gotta have some of that chili mac. Give me some of that chili mac.
God, I can't even.
I'm like, no, I. From talking to people that have had to eat them in the military, that shouldn't be something you get addicted to. You know, I guess he didn't enjoy pooping because they say that they stop you up.
I've heard that too. I've had plenty of patients that were, you know, former military. They mm-hmm. tell me the same thing.
Yep. Which I think is planned because you don't want to be out there on an operation and have to do that. So if you can be stopped up,
it'd be better than them giving you diarrhea. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on June 21st, 1946, Yorktown was mothballed and sat at the Bremerton, Washington area as part of the Pacific Reserve Fleet. And for old time's sake, the crew had their final sortie dance that evening at Field Artillery Armory in Seattle, Washington. Now, it was decommissioned January 9th of 1947, and for the next 5 years, the reserve fleet remains a sleeping giant until the Cold War heats up to a boiling point in South Korea. So December 15th, 1952, after a $65 million modernization at Puget Sound Naval Shipyard, she was recommissioned and captained by William M. Nation. Changes made that year included topside gun mounts removed and her island made more narrow and streamlined. The addition of an escalator and increase in width then made it too large to fit through the Panama Canal. So they put an escalator on and now she can't fit. But she went through the Cold War, you know, doing all that stuff. I won't go through all that history. That's some that y'all can go look up if you want. But I did have to mention this. The first anniversary, December 15th, 1953. So while at Yokosuka to celebrate the anniversary of the Yorktown's recommissioning, the bakery made the largest cake ever baked on board a naval vessel, a 1,382-pound replica of the ship. 150 gallons of ice cream were also made available to go with it. They made a 1,382-pound cake.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah.
I like cake.
Yeah.
As long as you got some good buttercream frosting on there, man, I'd eat the hell out of that, the bow of that ship. Anyway, in total, there were 141 men that died aboard the USS Yorktown. That, in and of itself, would leave a sludge, a paranormal sludge, on the Yorktown. Then, all of the energy and the negativity and everything that happened during all the battles that she was in, it seems to have kept some of the soldiers on board the USS Yorktown.
All right, so we said at the beginning of the show that the USS Yorktown is often on these lists of the most haunted places in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it serves as a museum now there at Patriot Point. And the staff there, they say that they have witnessed tons of activity. Everything from apparitions so clear that they were identifiable as members of the ship's crew.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, imagine seeing an apparition that you can make out, you know, what they're wearing well enough to know that that apparition was a crew member aboard this ship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty clear. And you know, we see a lot of apparitions with period clothing, but, you know, making out those kind of details, usually don't hear that.
Right, right.
But the sightings have been reported not only by the museum staff, but visitors, even police officers, have seen all kinds of unexplained activity. And, and it's not just, you know, like one location necessarily. It's everywhere on the ship, the hangar deck, the flight deck, the engine rooms, the bathrooms, the officer's staterooms, the weapons locker, even the radar room, has had, you know, paranormal activity there. So it's widespread throughout the entire ship. Now, Tad Laguerre, who's a tour guide on the USS Yorktown, shared an experience he had while he was on the ship. And he says, quote, "There are some very odd sounds on this ship." He said, "There were some figures that I've seen that shouldn't be there. I've heard footsteps right behind me and turned around and found no one there."
Huh.
But according to Laguerre, one room on the ship is known as the dark room. And it's called the dark room because there is no source of light inside. Okay, so there's no light fixture, there's no window, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he explained that an amateur paranormal investigation group came in and actually caught video of human shapes moving around inside the dark room.
That's weird.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can, you know, even in pitch black darkness, you know, if you put a camera in there, it's going to adjust a little bit. So you might not be able to make out, you know, figures, you know, like details, but you could definitely see, you know, the light, you know, what little light would be there that would be captured by the camera lens, you could see movement.
Yeah, they'd be coming in from like the room adjacent to it, and you'd be able to tell the difference in darkness between room darkness and shadow darkness.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty crazy. And, you know, part of the tour goes into said dark room. But Tad says that that's not the most disturbing aspect of the Yorktown. He says that there is an abundance of smells on the ship. He's everything from fuel and sweat to coffee and cigarette smoke. So he says when you're aboard, those odors inevitably stick to you. You know,
that sounds like what the graveyard smells like.
Yeah.
Just used to that.
Laguerre says that if you happen to go home and you go to bed without showering the smells away, you will have dreams or even nightmares about the ship.
Really?
So that tells me for this guy to make that statement, this has happened to more than one person.
Yeah.
And more than a handful of times for it to be a thing. If I go home and I've been on board this ship and I go to bed and I have a dream or a nightmare about the ship, I'm not going to wake up and go, oh, it's because I didn't take a shower.
Right.
I'm not ever going to put that together.
No.
But you get enough people that it happens to. And they start to kind of put things together. Did you dream about it last night? Yeah. Did you? Yeah. Hell yeah. Did you take a shower when you got home? No, I just went straight to bed. You know, and you talk to enough people and you start connecting the dots. And then you're like, if you drag these smells home on your person and don't wash them off, you're going to have a nightmare about this ship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new one on me. I've never heard anything quite like that.
And I don't know how often I would ask somebody if they showered before they went to bed or not.
Yeah.
You know, like talking about nightmares we had. What, did you shower?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know that would come into my head to ask. So the fact that they have figured this out, like you said, this must have happened a ton.
Yeah.
Because that's not a normal question. So it would have to have been brought up at some point and then tracked back.
Exactly. I don't know. That's what I was thinking. You know, I was like, this didn't happen one time, you know?
No, it was a ton, because even say 10 times, I don't think in the 10 people that happened to, one of those 10 would go, did you shower? You know, it's not a common enough question to ask. It was a ton of times.
Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with you? Nosy? What the hell's wrong with you?
Why do you need to know that? No, but why do you need to know that?
Why, were you looking at my window?
Right. Sorry, I didn't give you a show, mister, but.
Well, Laguerre also says that women are much more likely to have a paranormal experience on the ship. That's not surprising, because there were only ever male crew members on board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you march some ladies through there and, these spirit soldiers will be like,
yeah, hi.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's time. You know, hey, shore leave, you know, comes up.
Yeah.
You know,
right. You know.
But some of the female visitors to the Yorktown have experienced things like a light touch on the shoulder, or others have even reported being scratched. And you know what, guys, if you're making a move, you know, scratching someone is probably not the best way.
No, unless they ask you to do it, don't do that. But that
she likes it rough, you know.
Yeah. That brings up the thing, though, that we talked about a while back, that Jason Hawes from Taps said one time that it clicked in my head at that point. I hadn't thought about it until I heard him say it. If you're a spirit and you're trying to get somebody's attention and you're tapping them mm-hmm. and they're not paying attention, you're going to increase the force
yes.
that you're using until you get their attention. And maybe it would take a scratch mm-hmm. to get their attention. So just because you get scratched, don't think, oh, it's negative, that there it's a demon trying to
right,
get me.
Right.
So it may just be that was the only thing they could do to get your attention. They'd been yelling at you for 5 minutes
yeah.
and you didn't pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine if you were that spirit, how frustrating it would be.
Right.
You know, especially if, you know, we don't really understand if these spirits understand what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. that know if they're dead or not. And you're standing there thinking you're not dead. And there's all these people around you that you don't know. And they're not responding to you. They don't act like they see you. You can't touch them. They can't hear you. You know, you just get more and more frustrated
mm-hmm.
and that until you build up enough energy that you finally something happens. I don't know that I've ever really considered that, but that, you know, I like that idea. Now, there have been some unusual images that have been captured on the ship that some people believe provides evidence that the ship has a few non-living crew members.
Huh.
The first photo was taken by people who were visiting the ship on the flight deck at one of the helicopters. So in that photo, behind the seats, you can see what looks like a figure dressed in an airman's uniform. And, you know, it's not the best, you know, ghost photo that I've ever seen, but
right.
You can see where people are going. Mm-hmm. Yep. I see it. It's like those pictures you used to have to look at and cross your eyes, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah. It's like, once you see it, you got it. But,
mm-hmm.
And the next one is actually a video that was captured by the TAPS team. So the crew from Ghost Hunters captured a video in one of the interior rooms, and you can see a figure leaning up against a wall. It stands up and then it just kind of walks off into nothing.
Huh.
Now I wasn't able to see this video because the episode that the investigation of the Yorktown was on was back in like 2012. And it's not available anymore. I mean, I poked around and poked around every source I thought I could find. And everyone just said, you know, this episode is no longer available. So I imagine, you know, there's a lot of seasons of that. Eventually, you know, the older ones kind of drop off.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to find that video. Maybe there's a clip of it on YouTube and I just couldn't find it. But if you come across that episode, you know, this is where you can see this video.
Email it to us.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you know, so I hadn't seen it. I can't speak to it, but, you know, the Ghost Hunters guy, of all of the ones that are out there, I don't want to say believe is not the best word, but I lend a little bit more credence to the evidence that they present because –
yep.
They do a pretty good job of telling folks it's nothing. You know, we were able to reproduce this.
Yep. Yep.
You know,
they try to debunk before they try to prove, and they don't try to do what some shows that will remain nameless do, where everything is demonic.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you got a demon?
Yeah.
And you got 17 demons. And one of them every night is tickling your booty. And so we're going to have to do some kind of cleansing. He tickled my booty while I was here. So we got to do something. Because these demons are bad.
Stick some sage up there, man. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and look, there's a lot of these shows, and some of them are really good. I mean, you know, I always feel like, man, they got to make television that's worth watching.
Yeah.
So if they come away and find absolutely nothing, it was a big waste of time and money for them. So I get that if this is your bread and butter, you really counting on finding something. And
you know, the only show that I've seen come away with nothing after a paranormal investigation was Josh Gates.
Yeah, yeah. But I've
seen him do that. I've
always kind of felt like Josh Gates kind of goes into it with the mindset of this is not real.
Right. Yeah.
You know, instead of going, oh yeah, we're going to get something, you know,
yeah,
and I don't know if he really feels that way, but I've seen enough of him on TV to go, I think he really comes into these things thinking I can debunk, I will figure out,
mm-hmm.
you know, my team will figure out what this is and it's not paranormal. Yep. And then when they can't, that's when they begin to start looking at those ideas, you know, and Grant and Jason, I think, you know, over the years have done a pretty good job of that too. But, you know, again, I'm like, you gotta keep people watching. If you,
right,
if
sure.
you keep telling them, sure. oh, let's place it on it. No, this one not. This one didn't either. Yeah. People are going to go, why am I watching this?
Yeah. There's no reason for me to watch this stupid show. Why am I?
You know, don't, you know, convince me or at least entertain me, you know, for the next 40 minutes.
Yep.
Now this next one I sent Adam last night. We can post this one. This photo was taken in 2008 by a man named William Butterfield. Now he took the photo of the ship's radar room and he thinks that he caught a spirit in the process. So, in this photo, you see the image of what appears to be a man standing quite close to the camera. And the left side of the figure is plainly visible, and you can make out the left side and the sleeve of the heavy coat or you know, shirt or whatever he's got on, and even down to the creases in the fabric. Now, one thing to understand. There is a pane of glass between where Butterfield was and the inside of the radar room. It is not obvious when you look at the photo that there is glass there. Okay. So once you know that, immediately you begin to think he's got his own reflection in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be really easy to dismiss.
Yep.
But Butterfield says that he was alone when he took the picture. He also said that because he was there in August of 2008, that he would not have been wearing a big, heavy, long sleeve shirt or even a jacket like this that you That's see a good in the point. Photo. Because he says August temperatures in Charleston are easily in the mid to high 80s. You know, with heat indexes approaching 100. So there would be no reason for him to have even had a long sleeve shirt on, much less a jacket.
I went and found that picture and I'm looking at it now. My only thing, like when you sent it to me, what I said was, if this is real,
right,
then that's good. It's a good picture. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't able to zoom on it the last time. I'm zooming now a little bit, and it looks like the person, quote unquote, has that green jacket on. Also looks like they have a red shirt and blue jeans. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was standard, you know, that not standard uniform, but could they wear that stuff on the ship? I don't know. But like you said, we will post it. I'll put it on the thumbnail or something of YouTube. I'll try to put it up in the video, but
yeah,
it does look,
I mean, it's like I said, and like, well, like Adam said, if it's real, it's a great photo.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it will ever be 100%, you know, accepted, because there's so much of a chance that it is just a reflection. But
right.
But it, you know, for at face value, it looks pretty cool. Now, Brian Parsons, he worked on the USS Yorktown since he was 14 years old. Now, he told this story while he was serving as the supervisor of museum services at Patriots Point. And this is a quote from Parsons. It says, "Right about where I'm standing, the room is a lot more crowded than when I was in it then, but when I came through, everything was pushed to the walls and there was nothing around me. When I got about halfway through, I felt a tug on my radio. It was one of those with a mic on it and a stretchy cord. I got all the way to the middle of the room and felt a pop. It happened 1,000 times. I knew what it was. But when I looked down, I realized I was about 5 feet away from anything. There was no way that radio and mic could have stretched more than 2 feet. No way. So I always took that as maybe a sign that somebody down here was letting me know that they're here." So if you've all seen this, it's like the radios that police officers wear. They've got the large radio down on their hip, and they've got one of those old, the springy looking cord, like old telephone cord, that runs up to a mic that's strapped up here at their shoulder. So this is what he's talking about. And if you've ever worn or used one of these radios, you know, you get that stupid cord caught on stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And that pop that he's describing is the feeling that when you get it hung and you don't realize and you walk too far away, pop, you know, so you get it where it either finally lets go, or it pulls back and pulls out of the radio or something.
Yeah.
So he's saying that when this happened to him, there was nothing anywhere near him for him to have gotten that caught on. So something grabbed it and then let it go as he walked past. Pretty neat story. And this guy's been around the Yorktown for a long time. So it's funny that this was the story that he shares. I figured he's probably got dozens, you know. This may be his best one. This may be his 4-star story.
Yeah, the one that he's able to, like, I know you may have a bunch of different things, but you've told them, and people don't understand it, or it's more of a feeling, because you and I have talked about a lot of paranormal experiences are feelings based, you know, very personal. So maybe that's one of the ones that isn't super personal that he can relate to people and them understand what he's saying.
Yeah. Now, this last story that I'm going to share, it's a longer one. And, you know, so I found this one just really poking around. And I told Adam about it. I didn't tell him the story, but I told him about it because I was like, this is recent. This story happened just a few months ago, this past summer. Okay. This story is posted on Reddit by user Embarrassed Range 198. And they posted about their experience aboard the Yorktown just, like I said, just a few months ago. Okay. 2024, they were there taking the tour. So, I cut it down a little bit because like I said, it is long. So this is an excerpt from her post. So she says, "Me, 27 female, and my friend, 20 female, just visited the USS Yorktown aircraft carrier in Charleston, South Carolina. We started the tour in the hangar bay and there wasn't anything odd or out of place until we finally made our way down to the engine room in the belly of the ship. We went down more flights of stairs than we thought we should have, but there were tour signs, so we thought, we'll keep going.
Yeah.
The engine room in the pictures, when you Google it, was not the room that we walked into. The air was extremely hot and stuffy, and the noise of the ship was deafening. My friend said she felt like it was a lot colder down there than anywhere else, which was my first indication that something was wrong. You know, she already said that it was hot and stuffy, and her friend's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, on one of the catwalks, my friend got ahead of me, and a tall man came down the passage toward us. My friend got across, and I was about halfway through when I passed the guy. I don't know what he looks like, and I don't know what he sounds like, but I remember what he said. Are you ladies looking for a job today? Which I thought this was weird, and just answered, no thanks, I've done my time. She says, I'm prior military. So the man said, okay, and then moved on. Afterwards, my friend asked me why I had answered a family who'd said, excuse me, that way. But I never saw a family. Where she saw a family of three who were wearing vibrant colors, I saw one man wearing a black shirt.
That's weird.
Now, that's really weird. But I assure you, it gets weirder. And it shows that maybe the USS Yorktown is more than just a haunted ship. The catwalk underneath got very rusty and started caving as I walked, but I just kept going. It was a tour, so the walkways must be safe and well-maintained, right?
You'd think.
Suddenly, I came up on a hole in the floor that led down even further. I made a joke about what the hole reminded me of, and she says something like Satan's asshole. But she says her friend came to look, but she came from behind me. It was a narrow area, and I would have noticed had she turned all the way around and come back past me. She said, something was looking back at her from the darkness. Understand, she'd already told us her friend had walked on ahead because that's when they saw the guy in the black shirt, but her friend saw a family.
Yeah.
Now she comes up on this hole and tells her friend to come back and look at it, and her friend comes up behind her.
That's weird.
That's really weird.
There's some time-space bending happening.
So she says, we kept walking then, and she walked out of the room that we were in. Like flipping a switch, I became very aware of the sounds of the ship. Then backed up, back into the room we had just left. It was dead quiet in there. Not a single sound. No footsteps, no engine sounds, no generator sounds. No conversations, no signs that sound had ever existed in that space. She came back to listen when I pointed it out, agreed that it was really weird, and we kept going. So she says, I was a little freaked out at that point and just kept looking around at red floors, gray and black walls, rusted gray engines. In short, the engine room looked old and not refurbished like the rest of the ship. We finally stopped at a set of stairs that led back down, and she was fully set on heading down when something crossed my mind and I stopped her. Those were the steps we had taken to go down already, and I didn't remember ever coming back up. She checked her phone and gave me a very strange look. A massive chunk of time had passed that didn't fit in the timeline we had just been through. There was no way that amount of time could have passed. She didn't remember coming back up either. There was a very oppressive atmosphere that came over us all of a sudden, and we quickly left the ship. The second we stepped off the deck, it was like a vise around my chest had opened and I could breathe. From being just shy of noon when we went down into the engine room, it was now 1 p.m. We had lost an hour of time. The whole experience was very strange. Who was the guy I saw? Where did the time go? Why did we watch videos of the engine room tour and not recognize a single part of the engine room? Mm-hmm. Our memories are different in the same place at what was presumably the same time, but she came from behind me when I had just watched her walk in front of me, and I could hear her talking to me the whole time.
There's something messed up.
So immediately reading this, you begin to think, time slip in a ship that's known to be haunted?
Right.
So I don't know, but if I consider that, it makes me think that maybe these sailors that they see, that their uniforms, you can really tell that it's a crew member and it's not just a random shadowy apparition. Maybe they're seeing people passing back and forth, you know, through time, as opposed to a residual haunting by a dead sailor.
And you know what I would like to know is where they stumbled into that versus where that bomb landed and exploded in the ship. Like, could that bomb that happened on the bomb Sunday that killed several people, could that have ripped open something in the fabric of the ship that causes there to be time slips in that area?
Yeah. I mean, it's really strange. Really, really strange. And you know, the fact that if I was reading this story and it was from years ago, I may not, and I don't really understand why I would do this. It's just the way my brain works. The fact that just a few months ago, she took this trip and then decided I'm going to post this story. It just kind of feels like, If I was going to make up a story, this happened to me a long time ago. Okay?
Right.
Just in my head. So for her to go, look, my friend and I just took this tour, and this is what our experience was.
2 months ago.
I really want to believe this story. And the details that she shares and, you know, the description of the events, it makes me go, I want to believe this story so bad.
Well, it either did happen to her or she's a really good fiction writer.
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, I mean, that's it. But had you and I not found stories that are similar to this, talking about time slips and things like that, then I would be like, man, that's nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm. But that's not a haunting. Yeah.
We've heard other stories that have similar aspects to them to make us go, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we may be looking at something totally different than just a haunted ship. I mean, it's really, and that whole interaction, you know, with not a spirit necessarily. She didn't see a ghost that she interacted with. She saw another person.
Yeah.
You know, clear enough to recognize it as a living person and communicated with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet her friend saw something totally different.
Saw a family.
Yeah. And not only did she see it differently, saw the interaction of the friend enough to go, why did you say that? You know?
Yeah.
Why, that seemed like such an odd response for you to say to a family that just said, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine if you're that friend, look, excuse me. And she says, no, thanks. I've already done my time. What?
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly.
you would be so confused.
I mean, when I found this story, I was like, this is really cool. You know, I have to share this because it does open up the idea that, you know, with everything the USS Yorktown went through and for the soldiers that died on that ship and the service that, you know, the length of service that it had, what are the chances that, like Adam said, that bomb that fell right through the deck, you know, didn't open something up inside that ship? And then the renovation and the fact that it's named, you know, for, you know, the, you know, another ship
that was sunk,
you know, did all of that work together to create some sort of rift down there inside that ship? It's really, I mean, it makes it 10 times cooler to me. If this is something going on. So, this is a tour now after reading this. This is a tour that I 100% want to take. Okay.
I want
to experience this place, you know, for dozens of reasons, but I want to see this place for myself. It would be crazy cool to have an experience like this, but just to be there and kind of get that feel. To see, I may not experience anything, but do I feel it? You know, is there something about it that just feels off? You know, I'd love to know. And I'm curious. I saw a video that it wasn't necessarily a paranormal investigation. It was just a family that was there taking the tour. And the daughter, the adult, or young adult daughter in there, she says, I come home and this is every Christmas, my dad brings us here. We've been doing it for years and years and years. So they actually go and visit it every Christmas. This is a pretty common tour. I would imagine we've got some listeners out there that have maybe even been on this tour.
Yeah.
And if you have, or maybe you've got a story from the Yorktown, or you had a family member that, you know, was on board, you know, at some point, let us know. I mean, we would love to hear those stories, talk more about that. And the best place to do that is in our Facebook group. You know, share what you know about this. Tell us what you think. You know, are Adam and I just way off base here? You think this is just completely, we're putting more into it than what's there? Or is it possible that the Yorktown is way more than just a haunted ship? Yeah. Jump in our Facebook group and let us know. And after there, you can head over to our website, which is graveyardpodcast.com. And there you can find links to purchase Graveyard Tales merchandise. And hey, you know, there's some new stuff in there. You know, the film noir logo, we've got the classic Skull Mike logo. You know, you're looking for, a Christmas present coming up for that graveyard member that you know. Hey, you know, this is a great time to jump in there and get them a cool tumbler, coffee mug, t-shirt, whatever. But there on the site, you can also listen to the show, but that's where you can become a patron, and that's where you can get access to all those bonus episodes. For $10, you can get access to Side Quest, which is the extra show. And now we've got what? We just did 35. You've got those. And like I said, we're having a blast doing them. We hope you guys are enjoying them too. Man, I tell you what, this is one of the coolest ones we've done in a while as far as what we learned, you know, from looking at this research. So, I'm anxious to see if we got anybody out there that knows more than what we found. So until next time, We'll save you a seat in the graveyard.
See you soon.